Today's scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes 8:14, 9, 1 to 3, 7 to 9, and 12, 13 to 14. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, but there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Go, eat your bread in joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning, and in light of what our brother Tom has prayed, in light of the brokenness of this world, in light of the injustice that appears to happen, God, we thank you that we have you. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have given yourself to us, and because of that, we can have true hope. God, as we enter into your word today and we consider the topic of injustice, Lord, would you fill us with that hope? Would you remind us of what we have in you? A faith and love, a grace that is unshakable and cannot be taken away from us. Would you help us to rest in that? And as we do, may we worship you, may we thank you, may we praise you for all the glory that you deserve. We thank you and we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. It's not fair. Why'd I get the smaller half? Why'd he get the bigger laugh? Why can't I have a pet giraffe? It's not fair. Why can't I have curly locks? Why can't I have my own box? Why now, chicken pox? It's not fair. You get to stay up late? I have to go up at 8. They said they would, but didn't wait. It's not fair. Why don't you yell at her? Hey, it was my turn to stir. I don't know. It's all a blur. It's not fair. Why does she get brand new shoes? Why does my team always lose? It's not fair. Why'd I get these funny feet? Why does he always get the window seat? I always get the boring sheet. It's not fair. Now, before you begin thinking that this is from a personal journal entry, I actually want to say this is an excerpt from a children's book titled It's Not Fair by Amy Rosenthal. And it's a book, and it's a playful depiction about the reality that life is not always fair. And the proposed solution that the book seems to present is this, and I've taken this from the product description, and it says this: unfairness happens, because that's life. Life doesn't always go the way that we want it to, but rest assured, everyone sometimes thinks it's not fair. In a sense, the book is telling us that we're not alone. It confirms our experience of unfairness by showing us that everyone at some point experiences unfairness in their lives. And we can find some comfort in knowing that we're not the only ones who go through less than ideal situations. Now, is this an adequate solution to dealing with life's unfairness? I think probably not, but it also probably isn't fair to dissect the children's book all too much. Now, if you're wondering, you know, what does the children's book have to do with our sermon? Well, what we'll see in our text today is that Qohelet addresses a similar topic. He talks about injustice. And he, too, proposes a solution, a way forward on how to deal with it. And so what we're going to do today is hear what Qohelet has to say about this topic and how we should think about it and how we should approach it as well. And so we're going to do this in 3 points today. Number one, the problem of injustice. Two, the proposed solution. And then three, the promise of the gospel. So one, problem of injustice. Two, the proposed solution. And then three, promise of the gospel. So let's take the first one, the problem of injustice. Much like he's done in other parts of the book, Qohelet observes the world and he reports back to his readers on what he's seen. And in our text today, he observes and he speaks about injustice. And he mentions several examples of why it's a problem. The first problem is that bad things happen to good people. He says, there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. In other words, rather than the righteous being rewarded for what they've done, they're met with the opposite instead. We see this in the story of Job. The Bible says that there was no one as righteous as Job, that he was blameless and upright. He was one who feared God and turned away from evil, echoing the same verse that we've heard throughout our series. Yet despite all of this, Job is met with deep, deep suffering. He loses all of his property. He loses all his children. He loses his health. His wife tells him to die. And his friends blame him, saying that he must have done something that was deserving of all of this devastating loss. Just as Qohelet observes, we see in the story of Job, a righteous man to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. To give another example, earlier in the fall, I started watching the show on Netflix. And in the show, one of the main characters is an ex-cop who quits the force because after his son, who was also a cop, is killed. And later in the story, you find out that the son is killed because he had discovered some corruption that was happening, and he was about to speak up about it. This cop, the son, who was trying to do the right thing, and instead of being rewarded for his integrity, is punished for it and pays for it with his own life. But moving beyond stories, do we not see this happening in our own society as well? Think of those times when victims or witnesses come forward and speak up about an evil that they've experienced or seen. They've done the right thing, and yet instead of being met with care and attention and protection, they're met with criticism and doubt and even ridicule. This isn't something that's foreign to us. I believe that we know and have experienced it for ourselves as well. Now, perhaps you've been in situations where you notice something off. Maybe it's at work and you see a coworker doing something that you know they're not supposed to do. But rather than immediately approach them with the issue or report it, you hesitate. Because even though you know what the right thing to do is, you don't know what the consequence for doing that would be. In a perfect world, doing the right thing would lead to good consequences, wouldn't it? But in our fallen world, we don't know. that coworker may not appreciate your integrity and may even ridicule you for being uptight. Other coworkers may end up seeing you as someone that they can no longer trust. Your manager or your boss may hear what you have to say, but just choose to ignore it. This, Kohelet says, is injustice. The second problem of injustice is that good things happen to bad people. He says, there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. Kohelet says that just as the righteous don't always receive the reward that they deserve, but instead are met with punishment, so too do the wicked not always receive the punishment that they deserve, but instead are met with reward. Going back to the same show that I was mentioning, in the scene that you find out that the son is killed, you also find out that the corruption that this cop was trying to speak out against was amongst his own fellow officers. See, all of the police in that force were corrupt. They were collectively taking bribes from local gangs. And so to be a whistleblower would be the worst thing that he could do. But to take part in that corruption, to accept the bribes, would lead to his greatest advantage and reward. He would have been accepted into the rest of the group as one of them. He would have received a share of the money from the bribes, and ultimately he would have still had his life. Shifting the focus now back to us, just as the first problem exists in our world, so too does this one. And it doesn't need to happen in extreme ways like this Netflix show, but oftentimes it happens in the little things, in the small things that we feel we can easily justify. I'm sure there have all been times where we've thought, sometimes I think things would be easier if I didn't do the right thing. Now think about some of the money you'd be able to save or keep if you didn't have to report everything in your taxes. Or how you could score just a little bit better on your exam if you took a quick peek or glance at someone else's answer. Or even something as small and simple as, you know, leaving your trash on the floor because you know someone else is going to pick it up eventually. Now, I don't mean to bring up these examples as something that you'd actually do, but rather to point out how thoughts like these reveal the fact that we're aware that things like this happen, that we're aware of this injustice, the injustice of being rewarded for something wrong. And this too, Kohelet says, is injustice. And finally, the third and final problem of injustice. Kohelet says this, I laid this to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise are in the deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. The event that Kohelet is speaking about here is the event of death. And Kohelet has talked a lot about death throughout Ecclesiastes, and what we're beginning to see is just how much of a problem death is for him. For we see that Kohelet considers death to be the greatest problem and example of injustice. In chapter 9, verse 1, he says that God holds the righteous and the wise and their deeds in his hands, but no one can know. No one can know whether or not they will receive hate or love. In other words, Kohelet is saying that being righteous and wise and doing good deeds doesn't guarantee that good things will happen. Because as we've seen in the first two problems, the reality of our broken world is that people don't always receive what they deserve. And the ultimate example of this that Kohelet presents is death. Which is why we see in chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, he says death doesn't discriminate between the righteous and the wicked, the good and the evil, the clean and unclean, the one who sacrifices and the one who doesn't, the good and the sinner, the one who promises and the one who shuns promises. Everyone, without discrimination, will face the same event. death comes to everyone. And no amount of wisdom or righteous deeds can stop it from happening. And so Kohelet sees death as this sort of iron curtain beyond which he's unable to see or know what happens. Because the things that happen beyond this curtain of death belong to God. They're the secrets of God. And it's because of this that he expresses such a strong sense of finality when it comes to death. Because he can't see. He can't observe what happens afterwards. And if we can't know what happens after death, then how can we know whether or not there truly is justice? And since Kohelet cannot see, it brings him to understand death as the ultimate injustice. So we just heard Kohelet's problem of injustice. Now, what is the way forward? What solution does Kohelet propose in light of this? And we come to our second point, which is the proposed solution. And this is what Kohelet tells us. He says, "Go, eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be white, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife that you love all the days of your life." At first, this sounds really happy, really joyful. This sounds like a good thing. Eat with joy. Drink with a cheerful heart. Love the one that you're with. But when we take it in context of everything else that he's been saying, what we find is a sense of resignation. Because what Kohelet is saying here is this. He says, "We live in a world of injustice where we're unable to know whether our righteous and wise deeds will bring us good things, will secure good things for us. And so, in light of that, we should enjoy the good things that we have now while we have them. Because one, we don't know when the bad things are going to happen. And two, the only thing that we do know for certain is that death is going to happen." Now, I want to point out here that Kohelet isn't proposing some kind of hedonistic lifestyle. He's not saying that we should now pursue anything and everything that we believe will make us happy without thought of consequence or morality. No. Because Kohelet still believes that we should fear God. But his fear of God is grounded in uncertainty about what happens after death. He's believing instead that it's better, it's safer than to just enjoy what we have while we have it. And that's Kohelet's proposed solution. And to be honest, it's not a very hopeful or helpful one. But it's not necessarily because Kohelet is wrong in what he says. After all, at the end of Ecclesiastes, the narrator confirms that what Kohelet has said is true. Kohelet is correct in his observation about the problem of injustice. People indeed don't get what they deserve, and we can see that as well. And Kohelet is also right about death. Everyone will face death regardless of how righteous or evil or wise or foolish or rich or poor that they are. And Kohelet is even right about enjoying life in the sense that, yes, we should enjoy the things that God has given us. But the reason why Kohelet's proposed solution isn't entirely helpful or hopeful isn't because his observations are wrong, but that he doesn't go far enough. And this is why we need the narrator's final verses. It says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." And here the narrator proposes his solution, which is to fear God and to keep his commandments, not because we don't understand how God's justice works, but because God will bring every deed, whether good or evil, whether done in secret or in open, he will bring judgment. But how can we know this? We can know this through the person and the promise of the gospel. And this brings us to our last point, the promise of the gospel. Fast forward to the New Testament, and we see the introduction of Jesus. Like Kohelet, Jesus is a wise king and also a son of David. But unlike Kohelet, Jesus is the fullness of the wisdom of God and the king above all kings. Like Kohelet, Jesus also experiences and faces the problem of injustice. But unlike Kohelet and every other person in our world, Jesus is the only one who is truly and wholly righteous. The only one who faithfully feared God and kept his commandments. And yet, this perfect man, this perfect person, is wrongfully and unjustly accused and given up to authorities to be crucified. Like Kohelet, Jesus would also face the reality of death. But Jesus' death would be so much more. Because his death was not the punishment of anything that he had done wrong, but for the sins of others. And ultimately, unlike Kohelet, who could not get past the dreadful reality of death, Jesus instead faces death, passes through death, and rose from death, and emerges in glory and victory over it. And in this, we have a better and stronger hope against the problem of injustice. See, Kohelet could not see past death, and therefore he could not see how God's justice worked. But in Christ, we have someone who has seen past death because he's experienced death for himself. And in Christ, we can know how God's justice works, because in Christ's death, we see God's judgment against sin poured out on his Son. And in Christ's resurrection, we see God vindicate and glorify Christ because of his perfect obedience, or to use the language of our text, because he feared God and he kept his commandments. And furthermore, not only do we see God's justice, but we also see his love and grace towards us in Christ. For the wrath that was poured out on Christ on the cross was the judgment of God against the sins of his people. People like Kohelet, and people like you, and people like me. And he did this so that we who were once considered enemies of God, those who hated God, those that Kohelet would say are part of the camp of the wicked, might become instead the righteousness of God. Now we have to ask ourselves, like we did with our children's book, and like we did with Kohelet, how does the promise of the gospel help us now? How does it help us live in the midst of a broken world that is full of injustice? What is our way forward? I list three things. The first is what we've been hearing every week: fear God and keep his commandments. Not because we're somehow trying to earn our justification before God, but because in Christ we're already justified, and now we're called to live that out. And that means that we can be certain and confident of where we stand with God, and no longer need to live in slavish fear. So that when bad things happen, we don't need to wonder and worry, does this mean that somehow I'm in a bad relationship with God? But to know that our sins have been paid for, and that we are justified, and we are considered righteous because of what Christ has done. Therefore, fear God and keep his commandments. Secondly, enjoy the good things that God has given you. Not because we're uncertain of the next time that we'll ever have something good, but because in Christ we have already received the greatest gift that he could give us, which was himself. And when we live in light of this truth, then we can rightly enjoy the things that God has given to us as gracious gifts that were meant to lead us into praise and thanksgiving. And on the flip side, we can know then how to give thanks even when these things are taken away. Because we know that in Christ, we already have all that we need. And lastly, we can live with hope and trust that God's justice is being and will be done. No longer are we simply to live in light of death, but we're called to live in light of Christ's death and in light of Christ's resurrection. Because that is where we see and experience God's justice. Because when we live in light of that, we can know and we can trust that God is still good and that God is still just and that he's now working in the midst of the injustice that is happening in our world today. Just as we see God working, just as we have seen how God has worked in the injustice that Christ had faced. And so by his Spirit, he graciously calls us to join with him in his kingdom work. And by the promise of his word, he assures us that at the end of the age, that Christ eventually will return, that his kingdom will come, and that he will judge everything that's been done in the end, and his truth and justice will reign. To borrow a quote from a final scene in Lord of the Rings, when Sam wakes up and he sees Gandalf, and he asks him, "Is it true? Will all these sad things become untrue?" One day we will face death. Qohelet is right. We will face that ultimate injustice of death. But in Christ, we no longer have to fear that injustice. That one day death to us will be like a sleep that we wake up and we'll see Christ. And like Sam, have hope and say, "Is it true that all these sad things are untrue?" In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. So here in the death of Christ, I live. And there in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand until he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Father, we thank you for the love that we have in Christ, for his work on the cross to live, to die, and to rise again, to show us your justice, but to also show us your grace and your mercy towards us. God, we admit that when we are faced with the injustices of this world, it is hard to understand, and it's hard to make sense. And there are times when we look to you and we wonder, are you there? Are you seeing this? What are you doing? And then we look at the story and life and work of your son. The only one who was perfectly righteous. The only one who perfectly obeyed and feared you, and yet experienced suffering and pain and death. And we are reminded by what he's done on the cross and his victory over the grave that you are indeed just, that you are indeed good, that you are indeed seeing and hearing, and that one, and that you are currently working, and that one day you will return to take all these broken things, broken by our sin, broken by injustice, and that you are restoring and healing. And one day when you return, we will live in a world where your rule and your reign, in a world where your truth and your justice and your will be done. And no longer will we fear or experience or see the pain of injustice. So, Father, we thank you for Christ. Thank you for what he's done. And we ask now, God, that as we go and face the world that is ahead of us, as this song says, God, that we would stand in your love, that we would live out of your death, and that we'll stand on your promise and your power. We thank you, and we love you. We pray all these things in Christ's name.